Can we give the kids another round of applause? Before I say anything else, I want to express my heartfelt gratitude from both Maggie and I for your generosity. I don't know who all sent letters or who all was the mastermind behind having all the kids up here, but somebody knew what button to push on my heart this morning. And we are just so grateful that we were called here, that we get to lead you and be a part of this church. And it's a privilege to call Southlake home. So I just want to say thank you on behalf of Maggie and I. I want to tell you this morning that I'm really excited about where we're going for two reasons. This morning it is Missions Sunday, so it is a family Sunday, and it's a little bit different because instead of having a breakfast, we are having a lunch, so everybody is invited to have lunch together afterwards. But it's also a mission Sunday where we're going to take the time to have an activity after lunch that explains missions. And our missions team has spent a lot of time and effort into making this an enjoyable event for not just our children, but for parents and even adults. You can go through this, and if you don't know anything about missions in the Church of the Nazarene, this is a wonderful time for you to be a part of this, and there are stations throughout the church. This is one of them, and so after lunch, we're going to have this little activity, and then everybody's free to go. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about we're talking about the heart of our church today, but also I'm excited because we're starting a new sermon series. In the sermon series, it will be a short one. It'll be 5 weeks, and it is called Questions That Jesus Asked. Now, I have to admit, that seems pretty benign in the very beginning when you just mention it, but the truth is, this is going to be a very bold series because Jesus is always intentional about the questions that he's asking. He's not just making conversation. He's not just being cute, but Jesus always asks questions for a reason. And I want to stress that not only his questions, but his parables, as you will see this morning, are often unnerving, knocking us off balance so that we must see things in a new light. We don't think about that. Oftentimes when we read scripture, we have a tendency just to read through questions, but we really don't see the emotion behind it. And so our sermon graphic, it's a little hard to see there, but the graphic has somebody by the collar like this. And when Jesus is asking questions, I think this is a good point that in the church, especially the American church today, we've gotten too comfortable with just glossing things over. And with this series, we're going to be very intentional, very bold about presenting different ideas to you. And so it is this intentionality of Jesus grabbing you by the collar and asking you a question. And this morning, the question comes from Mark 4, verse 21. Jesus asked, "Would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed?" It's an odd question. Why would we start there? Well, we need to explore why Jesus is asking this question and who is he asking or who is he talking to in this process. So we're going to be in the Gospel of Mark this morning. You can open up your Bibles to Mark 4. And we're going to go on a little bit of a journey. And this is often referred to as a parable of parables. There are actually several parables all intertwined within this singular narrative, and it's important that we touch on all of them. So I'm just going to read, and then we'll have different times where I'll explain portions of this. Beginning in verse 1, "Once again Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plant, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then Jesus said, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." I want to begin by explaining one simple word that we need to pay very close attention to. As I said, this is going to be a bold series, and so this is why we're starting in this place. The parable of the sower begins and ends with the summons by Jesus: listen. Jesus is trying to get our attention that we need to listen to what he is teaching us. This is an important point not only for this parable, but for this series. We need to remember that Jesus is alive and he is still speaking to us today. It is as if he is grabbing us by the collar and saying to each one of us, listen. We often forget that the Gospels are written for us. The entire Bible is written for us. And so Jesus still speaks to us today through his word. And the picture that I want you to take with you this morning is Jesus grabbing you by the collar and saying, listen. My children, listen to what I'm telling you. We know that the emphasis is on this because in Mark chapter 4, the term listen or hear me, depending on your translation, is mentioned 10 times. 10 times in one chapter, Jesus says, listen. Listen to me. He's stressing something very, very important. But the question is, what is it that he's trying to draw our attention to? Well, Jesus begins by saying this in Mark 4, verse 10. Later, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with the others who were gathered around, they asked him what the parable meant. Jesus replied, "You are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God." I want to pause there for a quick second. Jesus says, "You are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God." The word there in Greek is mysterion. That's where we get the word mystery from. And Jesus tells those that are closest to him, you are permitted to understand the mystery of the kingdom of God. In other words, I'm allowing you to understand, church, I'm allowing you to understand the mystery of God. And Jesus continues on, but I use parables for everything I say to outsiders so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven. We need to understand who Jesus is talking to now. He's not only talking to the 12 disciples, he's also talking to the 72 who are with him. So when you read scripture, you know that there's the 12 who are around him, but then there are the 72 that are with him. But then there are also those who are seeking a greater relationship and understanding of what Jesus is teaching. So this is roughly 100 people that are gathered around. In other words, Jesus is spending extra time with those who are in fellowship with him and who are willing to do the will of God. Think about that. There's about the same amount here in the sanctuary this morning. And it's as if Jesus is saying, I'm going to explain this to you because you are the ones that are closest to me. So listen. Then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? Isn't that interesting? In other words, if you don't understand this simple parable, how will you understand everything else? And I'm going to teach you. This is a starting point, so pay attention. Verse 14, the farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed is God's word. It is the gospel. Jesus is saying that the farmer is you, and you are to plant the seed. You are to share the gospel. That is at the heart of this passage. It is what you are to do. Then in verse 15, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. Jesus is saying that when Satan throws temptations our way, those who don't have deep roots will fall away from Christ. That's pretty self-explanatory. If we don't have deep roots, when the temptations in life come about, and they will, that is a reality of life. Well, if you don't have deep roots, then it's very easy for Satan to take you away. But then Jesus continues on, verse 16. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. What Jesus is saying here is those that are excited when they first come to church and when they first start learning about Jesus, they're overwhelmed with joy, but as soon as life gets in the way, they flee from Jesus. I call these the bottle rocket people in the church. All of us know a bottle rocket. You light, and it's over. Those that are new into the church, they get excited about the message or about the music or whatever's happening, and they're filled with joy. And they want to get involved in everything, like, oh, this is so awesome. And then the second trials happen in life, it's over. That's the point Jesus is making there. And then he continues on. The seed that fell among the thorns represent others who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. For this group, their hearts are hard. They cannot let go of their old way of life, and they never accept the invitation that Jesus is offering. These patches of thorns that Jesus is referring to, these are the things that hold us back, that keep us from growing. And although the gospel is proclaimed, for those individuals, they just never accept it. They can't let go of their old way of life. I have too much security. I have too much money. I have too much freedom. I have the ability to do the things I want to do. I'm not going to give that up. Okay. And then in verse 20, Jesus says, and the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted. Well, Jesus is making two critical points here. Number one, when we share the gospel with someone who is ready to listen and accept the gospel, great things are going to happen. That is fertile soil. And so the point is we have to share the gospel, and incredible things will happen when we do that. In the passage, it says it will produce a crop of 30, 60, 100 fold. Those are the great things. But here's what I want you to understand. 100 times harvest is unheard of in the ancient world. It doesn't happen. So when Jesus is telling the people that are gathering around this are like, well, that's impossible. You cannot plant a seed and have it produce 100-fold. What Jesus is really saying is, it's not by human action that the harvest grows beyond understanding. It is by God's action that the harvest grows. This is what makes the harvest so great. If we think that we can do it, then what do we need God for? This is the point, that the harvest is going to be so great that only God can produce something so vast. And then Jesus continues on with the next parable. This is the parable of the lamp. And this very beginning sentence is our question this week. Then Jesus asked them, would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or a bed? Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light will shine. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. We're now arriving at the heart of our sermon today. These last three parables that I'm going to share with you, all three of these emphasize what Jesus was teaching in the very first parable. Here he is asking, quite simply, would you hide a lamp? Would you cover a lamp up? Of course not. But we have to understand what the lamp is. The lamp is Jesus, and he is meant to shine into this world. We cannot hide him away from those that need to see him. In other words, Jesus is saying, go and share the gospel. It represents the light of life. Take it into the world. Would you cover it up? Now, sometimes we're not really comfortable talking about sharing the gospel, so let me put it in better perspective. As Jesus is the lamp, and it says, would you cover up a lamp? Let me restate it this way. Would you cover up Jesus? Would you hide him? Church, would you throw a blanket over Jesus and hide him away from the world? Because when we do that, when we don't share the gospel, that's what we're doing. And Jesus is saying in these parables, he keeps repeating, he says, listen and understand. What Jesus is really saying, he says, hear the words, listen to the words very carefully that I am teaching you. And when he says understand, what that means is go and do it. Here's the instruction, and now you have action that you are supposed to take into the world. That's what he's calling his believers to. Share the gospel with those around you. You have to do that, church. It's non-negotiable. And then he adds in verse 24, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding you have will be taken away from them. Here's a hard truth, church. Jesus will always love you. He will always offer his teachings to you. However, in truth, he only invests his time with those that are going to do the Father's will. It's a hard truth. If all you want to do is come to church and be loved on, you can do that. I think that we do that very well. We reflect the love of Christ upon those around us. But that's not what you're called to. That's just a byproduct of who Jesus is and of who we are as his children. We love on everyone. But if all you're going to do is sit in the pew and is like, well, love on me, well, then you're falling far short of what Jesus is calling you to. The hard truth is Christianity is a verb. It is telling us what we do. It's not a noun. It's not a title that we get to hold up over our heads and say, I'm a Christian. No, no, no. your faith is to be put into action. And then in verse 26, Jesus gives us the parable of the growing seed. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground night and day while he's asleep or awake. The seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. As soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the time of harvest has come." Jesus is making a simple point here. It's not the farmer who makes the seed grow. It is God. All the farmer can do is plant the seed. Also, I know this very well, growing up on a farm. Farmers don't waste time. They plant abundantly. If there is ground out there, farmers plant. On our farm, we had close to 1,000 acres in total. Some of that ground, I would argue, was some of the best farmland in America. Others of it, not so great. But we planted on every inch of that ground. And we trusted that God would produce a good harvest. And then Jesus gives his final parable. It is the parable of the mustard seed. In verse 30, Jesus said, "How can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It is like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade." The final point Jesus is making is the kingdom of God arises from obscurity and insignificance. Now that might push on a couple of you. Let me say that again. The kingdom of God arises from obscurity and insignificance. That's a true statement. Think about the birth of Christ. And later on in the Gospels, there's a story of the Pharisee, and they're talking about Jesus being born in Nazareth. And the Pharisee, who was well acquainted with Jewish law and custom, the Pharisee kind of makes a joke, and he said, "Does anything good come from Nazareth? It's obscure, it's insignificant. How can the kingdom of God arrive from Nazareth?" Yet it does. We either cannot imagine what God can do, or if we can, we can only think it is impossible. This is why we must have faith in God. We must trust Him, and we must plant the seeds and stand back and watch the harvest grow. And then Mark closes this narrative, beginning in verse 33, Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they could possibly understand. In fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables. But afterward, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." There's two important points we make there. Notice what Mark is recording. He says, Jesus always taught in parables. But afterwards, after the crowds dispersed or when Jesus left them, then he spent time teaching those that were closest to him. It is a mirror of what we do on Sunday mornings. Those that are closest to Jesus, this is why we invest in you. This is why we take the time teaching you, because that's the very model that Jesus had. But also, being Mission Sunday, I want you to see something. When Jesus was done teaching them, it says he got in a boat and he went out to the other side of the lake. In other words, Jesus was done with what he had to do here, and now I'm going to go on. Jesus was missional-minded. He always is. We know that in the gospel. He goes from town to town to town, sharing the kingdom of God with people. This leads us to our application this morning. Church, if you haven't already, we need to repent of our sins because we need to develop a relationship with Jesus, and then we're called to become mature Christians. If you consider yourself part of the 12, part of the 72, or those that want to seek to get to know God, well, guess what? It begins with repentance. It begins with developing a relationship with Jesus, and then we are to become mature Christians. Jesus very pointedly is teaching us we are to share the gospel. We are to sow seeds. We do that, and we move on to the next person. It's not up to us if they accept Jesus into their hearts. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Some of you have forgotten that. You think that you have to convert somebody. It's not up to you. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. You simply share the message of Jesus Christ. And you share that message everywhere. There's a few of you in here who struggle with this. And I think it's mainly because of one of two reasons. Either you're continually looking for fertile ground. It's like, well, I can only share the gospel here. This is the place I'm comfortable with, and I know this place, and so I can only share the gospel here. And you think that that's fertile ground. It's not up to you to decide what fertile ground is. God has already decided that. Your job is to simply cast as many seeds as possible. Share the gospel, tell the message of Jesus to the world around you because they need it. The other point is, some of you think you only have one seed. You think Jesus has only given you one seed and you've got it held tight like this. And it's like, well, I have to share the message with this person right here. And you're thinking that that is your whole mission, that it is this one person that you have to share the gospel with, and if they don't come to know Christ, you weren't given good seed. Well, that's horrible logic. By Jesus' own parable, we have no idea who is going to accept the message of Christ. Here's the other thing. You don't know when they're going to accept it. So when you share the gospel, maybe right now isn't the time that they're going to be called to Christ. You plant the seed and you move on. And by the way, when you plant that seed, you do it with love, with grace. So if down the road it is meant that that seed is to be replanted and it will grow at a later time, you want to make sure that you've developed good soil. Don't beat somebody up if they don't want to believe in Jesus right now. It's not your call. It's not your place. In the parable, all Jesus is saying is share the gospel. You've heard me use this analogy in the past, the handshake of Scripture. And what I mean by that is we often have one piece of Scripture and there's another piece. And a scripture often does, they intertwine and they form a tight bond that when you try and pull them apart, you can't. They lock together and it adds significance, it adds importance to all this. And I want to give us one of those this morning. If you don't think this is what we're supposed to do, all you have to do is walk right out that door and there's a poster right there on how this church started. And it begins with Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Teach these new disciples to obey all the things I have commanded you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You can't make disciples if you haven't shared the gospel. How is somebody going to become a disciple if they haven't first heard the salvation message of Jesus Christ? It's embedded within that passage. We're to share the gospel. Go to all the nations. Share this message with them. The church in the Nazarene takes this passage very, very seriously. We are a missional church. If you did not know this about our denomination, the church in the Nazarene is actually larger outside the United States than it is inside. That it is the intention and the desire that every church give up a portion of its tithe to support our missionaries around the world. Here's a bit of question for you this morning. Did you know that the Church of the Nazarene has 2 million members? And most of them occur in churches this size. The vast majority of our churches are this size. We are in 163 countries. We're not some little cute little country church off Route 30 that stands alone. We have a much bigger family, a family in truth that is made up of 23,000 churches around the world. A little bit bigger than you probably realized. That only happens because people have shared the gospel, not just pastors, not just missionaries, but all of us. This is our mission, church, right here, right now. If you don't know what to do in the church, start here. Share the gospel with those around you. I've got a perfect sermon illustration to end with, since this is Family Sunday and we have children here. This is a perfect way to illustrate this. We have a simple glow stick. This represents the gospel. In a minute, I'm going to light this, and then I'm going to go to somebody. Now listen up very closely, parents. Do not activate it until this happens. I'm going to go and touch somebody on the shoulder, and they're going to light their glow stick. And then they're going to go and touch somebody else on the shoulder, and they're going to light their glow stick. And by the way, if you didn't receive one of these, hold up your hand right now, and we'll get you a glow stick. There's a few hands. But here's what I want you to see, what this represents. That this gospel starts from a singular point and it spreads. What you're going to see and what I want you to pay attention to is look around the sanctuary. Look at how it travels, where it goes, who it travels to. It's a beautiful analogy. So I'm just waiting one more second. I think we've got everybody. So again, don't light yours until somebody touches you on the shoulder. You guys threw me off this morning with the thank you cards. I was supposed to do this at the beginning. There we go. Okay. Here's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to ask that we turn down the lights in just a second, and when we do that, parents, I just want you to know it's going to be completely dark in here, so if you have children, they're a little bit afraid of the dark, just hold them tight, tell them it'll be okay, but we're going to turn all the lights off right now, and when we talk about the gospel, we have a light. And I want you to pay attention to this light, that it shines in the darkness. Now, I know we have some other lights in here, but the truth is that if this were completely dark in the sanctuary, your eye would be drawn to this. A singular light can draw you out of the darkness. Are you hearing that, church? It doesn't take an army to lead you away from the wicked ways of this world, out of the darkness, the dark forces of this world, but rather, it's a singular light. And then we take this light and we begin to share it. And so as I come over here and we touch these, we get a little bit, and then we're going to come over here and we're going to share that light. And now you take that and share it with others. And I'm going to bring it over here. And I touch you, and now you turn around and you share it with others. And what you're going to see is this gospel will grow. So I'm going to touch yours. There you go. Now turn around and you share it with those behind you. There you go. There you go. Now turn around. Can you share it with others? I got to tell you, I've never heard so much chatter in the sanctuary before on a Sunday morning. So if you look, I just want you to see the power of the message that from a singular glow stick, it is spread throughout the sanctuary, but I also want you to look at something else that everybody's doing. Sharing the gospel is fun. Should be fun. Because you're sharing the message of life with those who so desperately need to hear it. So to make this point really clear, we have a fun song to close with. So please sing along with the song that the worship team has selected this morning. Church, in just a moment, I'm going to dismiss all of us, and we're going to go back in the gym and have lunch together. If you haven't signed up for lunch, don't worry about it. Just come back. We'll feed you. I'm going to ask you to take about 5 minutes and make your way back there. If you don't know where we're going, just follow the signs for the gym. Just wander the hall. You'll see the signs and go all the way to the end and where you smell the food and hear the ruckus, that's where we're at. After lunch, we're going to participate in a wonderful activity put on by our missions team that illustrates this whole sermon so well. And you're going to learn more about the Church of the Nazarene and our missions and the impact it's had around the world. And adults, you should participate. When I say adults, I don't mean just parents. And if you're an adult and you don't know what the Church and the Nazarene, what our mission stand for, go learn something. Get a full belly and then get a full heart and a full mind. It's a complete package today, a triple threat. So if you would like to receive a blessing this morning, would you simply hold out your hands like this? Brothers and sisters, you've been given something so precious. The seed that you hold is the seed of life. It transforms people. It makes their lives richer, better, and you'll never be the same because of it. Go now and share the gospel with those you come into contact with. for this world needs it so, so desperately. So before you leave, before you head back, hug somebody and tell them you love them, and we'll see you all back there for lunch in just a few moments. God bless you all.